Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Game of Thrones. The Walking Dead. Westworld. No, that's the West Wing. Westworld. There we go. There have been many podcasts which seek to analyse the complexities, the depth, the plot lines, the hidden story arcs, the beauty of these productions. Quite simply, the world doesn't need another one, which is why we're applying that level of discussion to the bottom of the televisual barrel and scraping it with a weekly celebration of The One Show!
Hello and welcome once again to the One Show, the podcast that goes up to the door of TV's The One Show, and with all of its films and content in a paper bag, we put it on the step, we set light to it, we ring the bell, and we run away. And then The One Show answers the door and sees the burning bag and stamps on it to put it out, but it's full of all their films and content, so when they stamp on it, all shit goes up their leg. And then we hide here, very, very low down in the Apple charts, laughing at it from a distance. I am John Holmes, and here we are again taking that oh-so-deep dive into TV's shallowest show. And on the green sofas of doom this week, then, Matt Allwright versus Robot, Football is Blind, and holy Christ, please make the clanky necklace stop. Joining me to burn all of it down, of course, my the One Show co-host Mark Haynes, and not one, but two presenters who went all a bit viral over those lockdown times with their hashtag real daily briefings on Twitter and have built up what can almost be described as a following. Almost, but not quite. It's Larry and Paul. Welcome, Larry and Paul. Welcome, indeed.
Clapping ourselves.
Looks like Steve Wright. It's lovely to see you.
Love the show, George. Love the show.
Thanks. Even though I know that's insincere. So, question we ask everybody, because you've not been on before, have you ever watched The One Show before we forced you to do it?
Yes, I do. I'm Larry. Hi. I see it from time to time, and I don't know how I fit in here, because I'm not of the impression that it's the worst thing I've ever seen.
Ooh.
And I feel like I might be in a minority of one.
I've got a question for you two, actually. First of all, are we allowed to swear on this?
Yes.
Yeah, well, fuck you, John, and fuck you, Mark, for making me watch Charles. I hate The One Show. I think it's the worst fucking of Satan's bum guff, and you've made me sit through two half fucking hours of it. When I worked for the BBC, it used to be on in the background, and that was bad enough. But I've had to devote my entire fucking attention to it, so fuck you both. And fuck you, Larry, as well, actually. Fuck you. I'm saying it's not the worst thing you've ever seen.
And that's what we call defined characters. I think the thing is that I like to see the best in people, and Paul's a huge misanthrope. And when I can understand why some people watch The One Show, because it's mere offensive inoffensiveness that would attract a certain audience. Is that all right, a tactful way of putting it?
Yeah, I mean, it is the only show on British television where they can do a three-minute thing about one of the hosts not feeling very well at the top.
Well, hello and welcome to your Monday One Show, live on BBC Two on iPlayer with Jermaine Genus.
And Alex Jones, sounding a little bit ropey There, are you okay? Voice is a bit
better than I was.
Yeah. And they'll have a generic chat about what would be good for a sore throat. But they won't go, and I've researched this. Someone will just go, yeah, pineapple juice. And someone will go, oh, yeah, yeah. But,
you know, sponsored by pineapple juice.
So this was Alex Jones, Jermaine Jenness, this was Natalie Portman, wasn't it? And Tessa Thompson on Out of the Marvel film. And Alex, yeah, croaked a bit at the beginning and then just send in your home remedies.
Any home remedies, oh, yeah. Send them in. It's the most frustrating thing.
It is. Come on. She's pushing through people. Help her out. Send her in your remedies. Right.
She's asking for trouble. Because all that's going to happen with send me your home remedies is that some weird loner man sitting at home watching the One Show will be like, here, try this on your throat or wanking into a jiffy bag.
That also, yeah. I thought they opened the door for more dick pics on a section that they were calling Show, Sew and Grow. And they said, so send in your pics for Show, Sew and Grow.
There's something for your throat. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Have you tried hot cum? But for every single feature. Oh, I don't want to squirt on here. Or I can't get my daffodils to grow. Same guy, Nigel in fucking Chiswick. And they try not to come every week.
Now, this refugee family from Ukraine have been rehomed, but have they tried not to come?
We asked Nigel in Chiswick.
No, I don't think they'll try not to come, but I'd love to give her in or some not come. She started the show with a perfectly reasonable hello and welcome to the One Show, and no one noticed anything before Jermaine, in obviously some sort of pre-organised thing, went, oh, you are feeling a bit, you're a bit croaky there, aren't you? And who has pineapple juice for a croaky throat? I've never heard of that in my life.
No.
And honey and lemon and ginger.
Yeah, and it's obviously because they wouldn't let her say any kind of brand name, even though that's perfectly acceptable.
I've got one question, because you two are clearly One Show veterans. Where the fuck did they find her copers? Christ, they've really topped themselves with this one. Yeah.
Jermaine Jenness.
What's his name? Yeah, JJ. Yeah, yeah.
For years, Alex seemed like the nadir of presenting. And by being at that level for so long, she became quite good compared to how she was. Jermaine Jenness is very much on step one of that journey. He actually has difficulty just saying things that make sense. So he had to say, talking about the Commonwealth Games, he had to at one point say baton bearer. He ended up saying, so you're one of the baton buriers.
And as ever, we love hearing from you. Maybe you're going to be a baton bearer yourself. If so, please get in touch. All the details are on the screen.
Not even the word bury, like you're burying it, but like the red round fruit, a baton burier.
My personal favourite, which made me actually howl in the office to the point where Larry had to come and ask if I was okay, was when he was interviewing Natalie Portman and
Tessa Thompson.
And he wanted to say, we've spent a lovely afternoon watching the film.
Yes.
We're both big Marvel fans.
Yes.
And he says, we're both big Marvel films.
Yes.
Now, we had the pleasure of enjoying a very nice afternoon, didn't we, kind of watching this
very
film
nice.
Today. Both massive Marvel films.
Which are they? Is Alex is Black Widow.
Yeah. Yeah, and am I skipping forward in the chronology when
you're
I mentioned another?
You can go anywhere you like.
Let's face it, they fucking go all over the shop. So
another howler was clearly, I think it was at the end, of one of the segments, I think it was the end of the beach bit, when someone accidentally faded up his microphone and he was clearly saying something about not having enough time, faded back down again, then faded it back up and he said something else and had to chuck his iPad to one side while Natalie Portman and Tessa Thompson just looked on with presumably just a goal.
JJ, I know you wouldn't miss it for the world. So my mum said, you can pop in for a cuppa.
Oh, time.
Well, as long as your mum's got biscuits, otherwise yeah. It's a no-go, Richie.
Plenty of biscuits, please, Richie.
Yeah.
I built a whole backstory to that segment in my mind that while the piece was on live from Bournemouth Beach, as the lady arrived backwards on a zip wire with the Commonwealth back on. While that piece was going on, Jermaine was so busy trying to chat up Natalie Portman, which he did some of on air when he asked the question something like, and how do you get so ripped?
It's a pretty amazing part of my life to get to play this role.
You got pretty ripped up for it as well. I mean, you really went all out on the Thor stuff. It looked great.
how did you get so fit? But he was chatting her up, and then he was trying to play it cool, like, guys, how much time have I got? And they were like, you're back now. And he goes, oh, it's time now, is it? Through some floor manager under the bus.
Yeah.
So he could impress Natalie.
The Bournemouth bit of trying to sort of go, this is going to be spectacular, and having a child's zip wire that went from one part of the pier onto the beach. Jermaine's comeback on that, when it's worth saying as well, the guy who did the Bournemouth beach stuff is Richie. I was going to say Richie Edwards. It isn't him. That would be much better. He's back doing Commonwealth reports on the One Show. He did mention, as a proper good clanger, he did point to the sea and say, that's Bournemouth Sea over there.
So, Kate, there's Bournemouth Sea over there. It looks very cold.
That is not what it's called. That is not what it's called.
Inform, educate, entertain.
He also put an extra beat into the word Oceania. So he made the new word Oceania-ana, which was very pleasing. But best of all was how low he was setting it as well. He was going, oh, I'm having the time of my life. Not even trying to make it sound like he was having the time of his life.
I was a bit worried about taking this job on, actually. I was actually dragged down here kicking and screaming. I mean, who wants to come to gorgeous Bournemouth for the arrival of the Queen's Baton Relay? You know what? I'm not even convincing myself. I'm having the time of my life. So
the little bit where he went back to Jermaine in the studio, and Jermaine got to do a proper zinger on him. So he said, well, the Commonwealth torch is quite heavy. And it cut back to Jermaine quick as a flash, who went, ha ha, looks
it's
it.
It's quite heavy, actually.
Yeah, it looks it.
Work
Richie.
Those arms,
definitely.
Richie.
Thank you very much.
Sing! Well done, Jermaine. We were all ripping you, and then you come out with that.
There was a very good bit when Richie was talking to the open water swimmer, and he back-refed because Natalie and Tessa had been talking about having ice baths as part of their training to be in the Marvel film. Got Jermaine very excited, that did.
Didn't it?
Yeah, and do you want hot cum in your ice bath? he said this open water swimmer because she was talking about ice baths, and he went, how cold does it get? And she just went, well, I'm an ice swimmer.
I mean, we heard Natalie and Tessa talking about ice baths in the studio. How cold does it get for you?
Well, I'm an ice swimmer. So.
Oh. Killed it dead.
Did you have any working knowledge of the times involved in ice baths that people in ice baths think are impressive? Because they were all like, you nailed it. Tell us what it was. And she went, 4 minutes. And I went, I don't know. That doesn't sound like a lot.
Doesn't sound like long at all, does it, really?
So there would be sometimes, do you remember like a thick layer of ice that you'd have to like smash through and take out to get in this bath?
Oh, my word.
And it is kind of mind over matter, but I think I got up to 4 minutes.
Well done, or whatever.
It's like a standard radio edit single, isn't it? I could sit in there for a One Direction.
Do you think Alex went full on Welsh in this episode, by the way? There was a lot of Welsh.
Beautiful.
And viewers. I wonder what the viewers are thinking.
Now, what I love about the film, Natalie, is, as you said, there's plenty of humour in it. We have got lots of questions from viewers. But
a lot of viewers.
Viewers, yeah.
Viewers.
Viewers.
Right there on the sofa.
Yeah, I thought that was because I thought Natalie Portman had turned up in a very strange
she
outfit.
She really had.
And, yes.
It was very much had the look of, my husband has left me, but I'm going to turn up at school sports day in a very inappropriate top to show him what he's missing. And it just seemed entirely out of place for the type of show that we were dealing with.
I watched it with my wife, and she didn't know I was doing this podcast at the time. And I said, what is that Natalie Portman's wearing, after some description? And she said, she's wearing whatever she wants to. It's the outfit she's wearing. I'm like, all right. the woke karate. I said, I just need a description of it.
Yeah.
For a podcast. Well,
I thought it looked like a lot like she'd sat on the sofa naked, crossed arms and legs, and then they'd got dresses to sort of wrap material around her and tie it up. And she just stayed in that one position.
Yeah, my wife said it looked like she was starring in an amateur dramatic production of My Cousin Vinny. Which, again, I mean, I like the way we've got all these unacceptable comments about what a woman is wearing, but very cleverly, we handed them off to fictional female characters in our lives.
Well, I'm trans, so it's fine.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
One of my favorite questions that was asked by Avua. And they said, so who would win in a fight? Valkyrie, who's Tessa Thompson's character, or Thor, who Natalie Portman is playing as well. And they said what is very much a company line. So they went immediately, oh, we'd never fight. You know, we'd never fight.
Who would win in a fight? Valkyrie or the mighty Thor? Good question.
Oh, come on.
We would never fight.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't fight.
We're a team.
Yeah.
And we'd beat anyone together.
Exactly.
Didn't ask if you'd ever fight. He asked who would win in a fight.
Yeah.
And I only bring it up because I once saw Stan Lee in London at a comic convention, and he did a Q&A, and it was thrilling to see Stan Lee, you know, the man behind all those sort of, you know, from the Fantastic Four and the X-Men, on everything. Everything is from Stan Lee. Someone asked him, they said, who would win in a fight, the X-Men or the Avengers? And Stan Lee said they would never fight. And the man said, don't cop out, right? Who would win? And Stanley said, well, no, they would never fight. They would never fight. And the bloke said, I asked you which of them would win the fight. And they dragged the man out. They dragged him out. And he was shouting, tell me, tell me. And I did sit there, and as an old comics nerd, I thought, I mean, Stan Lee says they wouldn't fight, but there was a 4-issue series called The Avengers versus the X-Men in which they fought.
That's good knowledge.
Wow.
The answer, who won? Well, it was a draw. Just say a draw. It will be a draw. And then the nerds don't have to be dragged away.
Yeah, well, what I enjoyed about that is that they seemed to claim that there were loads of questions that came in for the viewers, and that one just killed that section stone dead. They went, okay, right, yeah, moving on.
Yeah.
No more questions.
Yeah. Right. Rather than talk about who'd win in a fight, which would be exciting, could you name all the different forms of love that are available on Earth, which could be incorporated into the new Thor film?
I think that's really at like self-love. There's love for. Well, I think it's definitely an exploration of love in all its forms. There's friends love. There's romantic love. There's parent-child love. There's self-love. There's love for what you do. So I think there's. That's really at like the core of the movie.
I noticed they didn't mention bum love. So make of that what you will.
Make it much more watchable.
Yeah.
It's PC gone mad. Also, that bit that I love most of all, where actors sort of go, we had the script, but, you know, we freshened it up a lot on the way through, really got it zinging, which is, you know, you ignorant shit. You absolute, you know,
complete improvisation and just really radically changing things on the day. So
the initial thing, you wouldn't recognize it compared to the end result?
Not necessarily. Yeah, I think there's a lot that has shifted and changed, but the heart of the movie,
I can't stand it. And I just don't believe in a film like Thor: Blood and Thunder, they're going to go, do you know what? We can afford to just make it up on the hoof and we'll take care of it in the edit. I'm sure that won't cost billions of dollars.
I have to confess to zoning out a little bit of that interview because 80% of it was Alex and Jermaine saying, we know you can't tell us anything. We know you can't tell us anything. And I know you can't tell us anything, but can you tell us anything? I know you can't tell us anything, but could you... Is there anything you could tell us? And I was like, oh my God.
The only thing they seemed to be able to tell us, and Alex did it in a really weird voice, she just said, well, you become the mighty Thor.
I hopefully we're not saying too much. Gosh, I get nervousy when we
talk about Marvel. Especially films. Marvel films.
We're not saying too much. We're going to say there's a little love story part of it. You play Thor's ex-girlfriend originally and then become mighty Thor.
Does she? That seems like a massive plot point.
Yeah.
They did mention on another show as well that they are a show which is primarily now just trying to get spoilers out of people. They mentioned this with Russell T. Davis, and they were like, but we're a show that gets spoilers out of people.
Come on, Russell. What are the goss have you got for us?
Has anyone ever come on the One Show and given away a spoiler?
Yes.
That's really? What we
do. It's a bit like, well, you know, A, spoilers are called spoilers because they spoil things. And B, you can't say you're a show about spoilers if you've never once managed to get a spoiler out of someone in 11 years.
Do they mean that time Dan Stevens spoiled the opening of his interview?
Yes. But improved the One Show 100%. Yeah.
Immeasurably. One thing I noticed about the episode with Russell T. Davidson, he just absolutely elevated the thing to stratospheric levels, didn't he? The moment he started speaking, he was just like, right, actually, I'm really interested now in everything. And the moment he starts speaking, back to normal.
I liked the way he was flirting with Jermaine, which put the flirting of Jermaine and Natalie Portman into the shade, didn't it? He was all over the Jermaine thing. You beautiful man.
Jermaine, you're a beautiful man.
Oh, I'd suck you off, darling, in a second, you know.
But if Ryan Gosling was in Cardiff, I'd go and suck him off.
I'd gobble him, absolutely.
If Ryan Gosling was in Doctor Who, I wouldn't be sitting here.
I do think it's a funny thing about if you are a showrunner, just openly boasting that you say, if I had an attractive member of the cast, I'd be drinking with them now. It's like, no, it's 2022. Check your fucking watch. You know, I will say one thing about this. When you do get like big Hollywood stars on the One Show, I mean, what could be funnier than basically having them there saying, will you stay the whole show, and only talking to them for the first 10 minutes and then just making them sit through 20 minutes of shit without even asking them what they think of it anymore. I thought it was so funny that you have Natalie Portman there and you go, I think for the last 20 minutes, we'll just have her watch stuff, but not even ask her what she thinks.
The one sort of link they tried to make, and I wonder, we've talked about this before, L&P, where the One Show have a series of films related to nothing on their shelf. And what they try and do is, however tenuously, link it to the guest and go, well, we've got that one from 3 years ago. So Natalie Portman had to sit through this film about a blind football team, right? And which was interesting.
Yeah, I like the thing I like about that is Natalie Portman, actually, John, don't diminish her footballing prowess. She is the co-owner with a lot of other celebrity Hollywood women of the LA football team, LA Angels, said Jermaine Jenas. No, not called LA Angels. Yeah. It was called Angel City. He got that entirely wrong.
Natalie, you actually co-own a football team in LA called LA Angels. Are they called Angels FC?
Angel City FC.
Angel City FC, sorry.
But I do love the fact that in America, football stroke soccer is seen only as a children and ladies sport, and it is not for men. And I like the fact that in the whole of the English speaking world, Britain is the only place that says, yes, this is a man's sport. It isn't. It's for little children and it's for precious ladies. That's what football is. And if you like it and you're not a little child and you're not a precious lady, then you're wrong.
The whole premise of blind football, which is quite amazing, but seems to be based on a joke I heard when I was a child, which was to do with a blind football team playing on a beach. And then someone said, there's a bell in the ball, that's how they play. Come quickly, the blind people are kicking shit out of the Morris dancers. That was all that was in my head watching this. It's amazing. They've got a ball with ball bearings in it.
Yeah.
And they shout certain things that tell them where the other players are. It's pretty incredible.
It is
actually
the hardest game I have ever seen. Yeah. It is so hard.
I enjoyed the deflation at the end of that piece. They lost 4-0.
Oh. Yeah.
And at full time, it's 4-0 to Germany.
But they're even more.
The best thing about that was exactly as you say, they sort of go, Britain's never had one of these teams. So we've decided this is the first one we're going to have. And in just a few months, they'll be playing Germany in the World Cup. And that's not enough time. This game is obviously incredibly difficult. You know, you walk around, you have to shout oi and red. Yeah. And in some way, that will help you work like a bat to work out where your teammates are. As you say, they lost 4-0. That isn't the dream ending you wanted for this sort of... Otherwise, it could have been an uplifting piece. And actually, it was just the whole thing. You were like, every stage of it, you were just like, this is too hard. The fact that the goalies can see makes that even harder for the people who are playing and trying to score.
Yeah.
The only sighted player on the team is the goalie. They help guide the players by shouting instructions.
And I did think to myself, how do they pick the goalies? Because if you're sighted, you're just like, yeah, I'll do this. I'll become a Paralympian. I'll get a gold medal. You know, another one had a go. I could hear the ball. B, I could see it. They didn't know where I was and I got it. This is easy. I'm the best at blind football.
You talked about the sort of the sad ending of that one, 4-0. I was kind of rooting for a sad ending on the Ukrainian dog story. I thought that would have been a horrible if they had gone through all of that, and in the end, Churchill, the little terrier, had to be put down. I'd have thought that would have been awful, wouldn't
nice
it?
Nice twist.
There was a similar nice twist. Would have had a very different.
I liked the beginning of that show where they got into that.
Yeah.
Where there was obviously the. You know, it'd been a big week, and certainly a big day in politics, hadn't it, that day?
Massive day in the history of the nation today. Huge day. It's going to affect everybody's life.
You're right. But as Alex pointed
John,
out.
John, let's leave that to the news.
To the news,
shall we?
Now let's talk about dogs. Right.
Well, that's dealt with.
But she went into it like it was going to be an item. And I was just thinking, because firstly, congratulations to Cam Norrie for his, you know, Wimbledon win or whatever it was. And then she said, secondly, big news in politics. But we're going to leave that to the news to discuss. And you go, well, that's not secondly then, is it? Because it's nothing.
Hello and welcome to your Tuesday One Show, live on BBC One and iPlayer with Alex Jones.
And Jermaine Genus. Now, firstly, huge congratulations to Cam Norrie for winning the quarterfinals at Wimbledon just now. How brilliant is
amazing,
that?
Amazing, amazing.
And secondly, big news in politics tonight, but we're going to leave that to the news to discuss. So while it all heats up in Downing Street, we head into the garden to cool off the RHS's Hampton Court.
And instead, we're going to Hampton Court Festival to see the moving story of a garden dedicated to Ukraine and a Ukrainian dog.
There's also something funny about the discussion where they've said, well, we've got to mention it, but they've said, yeah, but we don't want to talk about it. And we go, well, we'll just mention it and say we're not going to talk about it, and that will be fine.
But then they started talking about the conflict in Ukraine, and again, well, that's political.
Yeah.
But no, it's all right. We then moved it on to the fact that a dog's having a rabies test and coming over here to stay with a family that got put in. By the way, rather a nice house.
Minted, right?
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The area that they fenced off for the dog is at least six times bigger than my house. that was not the house they were in, which was basically fucking Downton Abbey. And good, by the way. Yeah. Wonderful. I'm glad that those houses are finally being used for something other than upmarket fucking sex parties.
You don't know what they were going to do with that dog, Mark. Don't question it.
And undoubtedly tax fraud. It's good to see, but I did look at that and I did sort of think, I wish I could be fleeing away from a war. I could live in a nice place in Norwich rather than where I live, which is awful.
Yeah. Talk about totally burying the lead in that story, though. Where is the dad? How's he getting on, by the way? Who is this family that have taken in these refugees and given the dog a couple of acres to roam in? I was like, I need to know all of this stuff. It's like,
they didn't even explain the
bandage on the dog's leg.
It's had a tattoo. It says fuck Putin on it. I did think, though, I mean, that dog's called Churchill. That's not, I presume, a normal like Ukrainian name. And it did suggest to me that they might have been, you know, not a double pun, but vetted by that family who were just like, well, I will need effectively, if we are going to take in a Ukrainian family, one that are staunchly Tory.
Since war broke out in Ukraine, over 80,000 Ukrainians have come to the UK to escape the conflict, and some have brought their pets.
We moved from Ukraine 2 months ago. It's been a long journey for us, yeah.
Irene will be going to stay with a sponsor in Norfolk, but Churchill can't join her yet. First, he has to go through quarantine. Phil Carter.
One thing I was going to say, whatever criticism you have for last Tuesday's show, whether it was the hot cum, the pineapple juice sponsor, or the brown sugar and onions, it worked wonders on Alex's voice. Am I right?
Not, you're right.
Back to normal.
Not mentioned. Then
not mentioned.
Yeah.
Not
totally cured, wasn't she?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I've been a couple of weeks with us, laryngitis. Oh. Next day, gone.
Gone. What did she prefer the laryngitis to? There was some remedy.
The brown sugar and onions and drink the juice right down.
I've got a hoarse voice. I think I've got a bit of laryngitis, but I feel fine. Anyway, thank you for all of that.
What's Claire recommending here? Chopped onion and brown sugar in a bowl.
Oh,
drink
Claire.
The juice it forms once left to sit.
I think I'd rather have this for
Sounds
a few
horrendous.
Weeks.
Well, that's all we've got time for.
Again, when you open it up to people and they're just like, you know, oh, and you know, Doris has got in touch and she says steep batteries in vinegar and then you've got to inject that under the skin. You know, just, oh, well, yeah, you'd rather have that. Yeah, don't even mention it. And that thing about onions and brown sugar, that is not from someone who has got a medical background. That is just someone who sells rancid onions.
What Alex needed was maybe a couple of people on the sofa who get paid, I don't know, millions of dollars to talk for a living in, I don't know, Hollywood, for example, who might have some sort of remedy for what you do when you've got a croaky voice. They weren't even asked.
No.
I don't know what you think, Natalie Portman.
I did actually say, like, you know, I thought it was really funny that they booked them there and they don't have them talk for the second half. Actually, what would be even funnier than that was if they got someone along who was acting for 3 years and could tell us in detail about his new role on a show that nobody's watching anymore, which was Omar, who is now in EastEnders. When you have Natalie Portman sitting on the sofa, I think you could probably try and find a better clip of your guest's acting prowess than one where he wants access through a busy market because he's trying to take a cat to a vet.
This is the quickest way?
Yeah, it's the quickest way to a good kicking.
You don't get it.
You don't get it, right? And you ain't coming down here neither.
No, honey, look, we've got all that stock on the street. Yeah. It's market.
I've got my cat in her back. She's been knocked down.
What?
The nearest vet's up on the high street and they're expecting me. My kids are going to be gutted if anything happens to her.
All right, come on then, let's move it, people.
Hey, but plot twist, guys. We discovered he's the bad boy because that cat weren't real. Yeah, whoa, spoilers.
It was a dead cat.
Yeah, it's when you hear Omar telling everybody about the importance of Max Beasley in anyone's acting career, sitting in front of an Oscar winner.
People like Max Beasley, who I used to go to school with. He helped me with like the audition process.
You just feel like you might be talking to the wrong person.
It's smacked of, we've just, even though it's Natalie Portman and Tessa Thompson, we've run out of things to say. So here's a feature we've just squashed on the end about the bloke in EastEnders. That's all we've got. We've got no time for anything else. It was like Natalie Portman wasn't even there. I mean, were we seeing Natalie Portman and he wasn't? Was that what was going on?
They didn't try to include them at all. He was sat at like the opposite. It seemed like in another room, in a sofa in another room away from
him. But I couldn't tell if that was him also sort of just going, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be talking about acting when they're here. And
I was thinking such is the tarnish of the one show that it even managed to make Omar Lifook look uncool.
Yes.
But they did his interview backwards. I've never seen this done before. They said, you're new in EastEnders, aren't you? And he was like, yeah, well, you know, I'm playing a bad boy. And they did this thing about the cat and everything getting through the market. And then right at the end, they interviewed him in reverse. Where then, oh, by the way, you had a number of hits, didn't you, in the 90s? You're onto your ninth album and you've got an MBE, you've got a CBE. Okay, bye now.
And this won't be the first time that viewers will have seen you on telly. There'll be people now sitting at home thinking, where have we seen Omar before? Well, everybody, cast your mind back to Top of the Pops. 91.
That's the intro.
My favourite interjection was, so there was, he was getting like, sort of like, list your record, your national record of achievement, Omar, and his is impressive list of credits. Mm. And then he starts with gold badge, and then Alex chips in with, I thought he was a global pizza badge then.
What have you been up to then since, you know, your success in the charts?
Well, you know, I've written 8 albums, worked with people like Stevie Wonder, Erykah Badu, Common, Angie Stone. I got myself an MBE. I got an honorary fellowship for the Guildhall School of Music and Drama as well. got myself a gold badge award from the Ivan Novello's.
I thought you were going to say from Blue Peter.
just absolutely undercut all those massive achievements.
I had that funny thing about when they did show the Top of the Pops thing. I was like, oh my God, it's Omar. And then I was like, what am I doing with that information though? I don't care it's Omar. Because like you said, I was sitting there thinking, why are they talking to this guy? And then I was like, they're talking to him because he used to be Omar, someone who we never talked about since he stopped doing pop in 1991.
And there we bring part one of the podcast to its traditional halt. There's only so much one show a person can take in a single hit. It's like heroin in that respect. Heroin that's been cut with terrible television. And now we're frothing at the eyes and ears because of what we've seen and heard. We'll be back tomorrow to hit you up with more as you lie on the couch, chasing the early evening BBC One magazine show Shit Dragon. Part two tomorrow of the return of the One Show Show.
The softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.